A Shir starts with Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. The Gemara was discussing, we're continuing our discussion about an Eid Echad being Neman Be'edis Isha, in a case when a woman was married and her husband went to Medina Sayam, and Eid Echad came and said, Meis Balecha, and the Mishnah said she can get married. I'll pee that Eidis, and if the husband comes back later, the various Kanasos. So the Gemara was dealing with the issue of what is this, in other words, that an Eid Echad, the issue that an Eid Echad is believed. And the Gemara wanted to bring proofs that an Eid Echad is believed, midoraisa. Eid Echad is believed, and that's the reason why, and we brought a proof, we attempted now to bring a proof from the Mishnah about Eid Echad Omer Achos Chalev. Chalev is usher to eat. That's one of the chayvi krisus. If a person eats chaylev b'shogeg, so then the halacha is he has to bring a chatas. So we had a Mishnah in krisus, that says that if an eid echad says he ate chaylev and he's not machish, he doesn't contradict the eid, he has to bring a chatas. So we said he contradicts the eid, he doesn't have to bring a chatas. But if he doesn't contradict the eid, he does have to bring a chatas. So we are saying that that's based on the nemonis of an Eid Echad. But now the Gemara says, maybe it's not so clear. We made the Mishum de Mehemen. How do you know this has anything really to do with the fact that an Eid Echad is believed? It may very well be that an Eid Echad is not believed. In other words, an Eid Echad doesn't have nemonis. Dilma Mishum de Kashosik. Perhaps the reason is because the person kept quiet. Person kept quiet. In other words, the reason why he's mechayev to bring a carbon. The reason why he's mechayev to bring a carbon is not because of the fact that the Eid Echad said Achlus Chalev. It's only in conjunction with the fact that he did not contradict the Eid, and that keeping silent when the witness said this thing is like a hodah. It's like an admission. Shtika is like a hodah. And Teda, I'll bring you a raya that must be the explanation of this Mishnah. And we're going to go to the second part of the Mishnah to bring the proof. The Tani Sefer, because we learned in the second part of the Mishnah. Amru Shnayim Ochlus Chalev. If two witnesses said, and first part of the Mishnah was talking about an Eid Echad, second, where it said if he ate Chalev and he said Lo Achalti, he's Potter, he said he didn't eat, he's Potter, and if he didn't say anything, he's Chayev. Second part of the Mishnah is talking about two Eidim. Amru Shnayim Ochlus Chalev. Two witnesses said he ate Chalev. Hu Omer Lo Achalti. And he says, I did not eat. Potter. Lach is, he's Potter from a carbon. Rabbi Meir Mechayev. Rabbi Meir says he's Mechayev. So first we'll read the Mishnah and say over the Machlokas, and then we'll get into what the Gemara's proof is. Omer Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, I don't understand how you could say that he's Potter if he says lo achalti. Kal v'chomer, it's a kal v'chomer. Im hiviu shnayim lidei misa chamura, if two edim, uma, the Bach puts on the word uma, uma im hiviu shnayim lidei misa chamura, lo yuviyeh lidei karban akal, if two people, two witnesses can come and say somebody is guilty of a capital crime, and they bring him lidei misa. So they certainly should be able to bring him lidei achi of carbon. How can you say that the edim can't bring him lidei achi of carbon? Amru lo, so the Rabbanan said back, ma'im yirtzolayim remezit ayisi. It's different over here, because he said the edim can't be machashim in this, because he has a migo. A migo is a logic, that if a person says something, has a way to say something that he's definitely going to be believed. In other words, and that would be over here where the Edim don't really know if he ate it b'shogeg. He's only going to be obligated to bring a carbon if he ate it b'shogeg, not if he ate it b'mezid. So if the Edim come and say over here, so if he would say mezid ayisi, he would be believed. So just like if he would say mezid ayisi, and this is the way Rashi explains it over here, just like if he would say mezid ayisi, he would be believed to get himself out of the chi of carbon, to patter himself on the chi of carbon, so he would also be believed to say lo achalti, al tamigo. And that's the pashut way Rashi understands it over here. So just before we move on, just to point out, so there's a big question on learning it this way, and other Rishonim don't necessarily learn it this way, because we have a usual call, even though Migo is a reasoning to believe in, but we usually don't say Migo b'makom Eidim. And over here, if he's going to say Mezra, you see, fine. But if he's going to say Lo Achalti, I didn't eat, he's directly contradicting the Eidim. And even though it's true he has Amigo, who said that Amigo b'makom Eidim works? Amigo b'makom Eidim, usually doesn't work. Rashi seems to say this Gemara is holding that it does work. Other Rishonim learn differently. They say that a person's believed on himself more than 100 people when it comes to his kapara. And really, the Mishnah is kind of lav davka. They don't really mean it's because of the reasoning of Migo. The Chachamim say he's believed because of that reasoning. Because when it comes to Karbanos, he's believed on himself. If he says something different than the Eidim, he's believed on himself more than other people. Okay. Now, and then there's a third way, really. Taisus on Pei Ches Amad Aleph has a third way, which introduces some complexities into the Gemara. But Taisus says that when he said Lo Achalti, in other words, he also learns that it's kind of Lav Davka, the Mishnah. It's not because of a reasoning of Migo. When he says Lo Achalti, we say, what did he mean when he said Lo Achalti? He didn't mean to say, I didn't eat at all. He's not contradicting the witnesses. He meant Lo Achalti the way you said, obviously, Shogi, you're coming to obligate me in a carbon, but rather, I ate it b'mezid. And that's what he means to say. But that's going to have a problem in understanding the Gemara, which we'll speak about briefly in a couple of minutes. Anyway, so the Gemara goes on. Reisha mai taima tap peches amad aleph. Mai taima koma chaybi rabbonin. In the Reisha, why are the rabbonin being mechayivim? Ilem mishum de mehemin. In other words, you wanted to bring a proof that an eidachet has nemonis, and that's the reason why he's chayiv a karbon. But he says, if you're going to say that reason, v'hatrei ba'alma, the next case, the case which we just brought about two witnesses, even though he's contradicting them, inu mehemni. Nevertheless, he's believed, but kapatri rabbanan, and the rabbanan says potir. In other words, we're seeing that the rabbanan say, if he says lo achalti, according to the way Rashi's learning, according to the way we've said that when it comes to a kapara, he's believed. So obviously, the reasoning why he's chayiv is not because of the eidim. Because you see, normally Eidim are, you cannot contradict Eidim. If Eidim say Reuven owes Shimon money, or if Eidim say Reuven is a rotzeach, he's a murderer, he killed somebody, he could contradict them from today till tomorrow. It won't help, and we follow what the Eidim said. But over here he's able to be machish the Eidim. If over here he's able to be machish the Eidim, to contradict what the witnesses say, so therefore it must be that the Eidim isn't, it's not the point that the Eidist that's making him chayiv in the carbon, but rather, alav mishum de ishtik, must be because he's keeping quiet. His v'shtika kaida adamya, and his shtika is a form of admission. And admission is what's mechayiv him. So you wanted to bring a proof that an Eid Echad is believed. It is not really a proof. This is working with a different principle. The reason why he's believed over here, and in fact, there are ways that he can contradict the Eidus. The reason why he's believed over here is because of the fact that of Shtika Kaida. Now, Taisus, as we said, wants to learn, because of his question about how you could have a Migu B'Makom Eidim, Taisus wants to learn that it, in other words, Taisus is learning that Lo Achalti means Lo Achalti Shogigel Amazed, is being Mataritz's Dibur. So, according to Taisus, he actually cannot contradict the Eidim. And Taisus asked this on his way of learning the Gemara. He says, if you're going to learn the Gemara my way, then really, how do you have a proof that it's not working with Eidus? It may very well be that it is working with Eidus. And Eidus is what is Mechayiv him, and maybe an Eid Echad is what's Mechayiv him, and Shnei Eidim are what's Mechayiv him, and the reason why he says Lo Achalti, he's not believed to be machish the Eidim. He's believed because of the fact that he's saying something that the Eidim didn't say. So Taisus answers that it's still a proof, because he says if it was working with the principle of Eidus, then he wouldn't even be able to be metaretz his dibur. If he says lo achalti, so lo ach, he can't say lo achalti shogel amazed, because if the edus was the operative factor over here, then lo achalti would be by definition achal, when the edim said that he ate chaylev, then by definition they would be saying that he ate b'shogeg, and therefore he wouldn't be able to say lo achalti shogel amazed. From the fact that he didn't say that, so you see that which we're saying, that it's shogeg over here, is really working in conjunction with his shtika. Okay, let's go on now. Let's get back to the subject at hand. Elis svarihi. So in other words, the Gemara now doesn't have a proof. The Gemara doesn't really understand why an eid echad is believed over here, because from the chaylev case you don't have a proof. The reason over there, when the eid says he ate chaylev, that he has to bring it, that obligates him in a carbon, is not really so much because of the eidus, but that creates a situation that if he's silent, that shtika kodo. So Ella, the Gemara says svarahu. You know, it's a logical thing. It's a logical thing that an eid echad is believed. And the way Rashi explains it is interesting. So let's read the Gemara first. If let's say you have a chaticha, you don't know if it's chaylev. Chaylev is fats that are usher to eat. Shuman is permitted to eat. And an eid echad comes with amr li, amr bari li de shuman hu. The eid echad comes and says, it's clear to me that it's shuman. The Mehemen, an eid echad is believed. And Rashi says, of course he's believed. Because he says, if that wouldn't be true, he says, you think there would be such a thing? In other words, if you want to approach any time, somebody invites another person over to their house, offers them some food, you have to eat kosher food. You definitely have to eat kosher food. So how do I know when he serves me that food and he tells me it's kosher? He says, obviously, I'm allowed to believe in eid echad when it comes to things like Yisurim. I'm allowed to believe in Eid Echad. And therefore, just like that works, so when the Eid Echad comes and says, this is no longer a married lady because the husband died, I should be believed as well. And that's Rashi's way of understanding the sugya. Taisus actually says, that it's actually learnt out from a pasuk. Rashi seems to say it's a svara, and Taisus says it's really a pasuk. And it's a famous drasha. It says v'sarfala. It's talking about a woman. A woman becomes indida, so she's aser labayla. She's aser to her husband, and we're machmir to say that she has a chashash, that she's a zava gedola. And in order for her to, or in a situation where she really is a zava gedola is a woman who sees blood at certain times of the month. And the only way she can become permitted is if she counts 7 clean days, which, by the way, we're always choshish for by any woman who's indida. But she doesn't have to bring any evidence to the fact that she did everything right. In other words, she counts the clean days, she does her bedikas, and the husband trusts her. She doesn't have to show her husband the bedikas. She doesn't have to show her husband any proof that she went to the mikveh. She's believed. And we learn that out from over there. So he's saying, right, so in other words, so that's Tysus's proof. So Gemara says, but me dummy, so whichever way you learn, how can you compare the how can you compare the two cases? Hasimlo is chazik isura. Hachi is chazik isura deshish. It's not comparable. Over there, it's not as chazik isura. In other words, we're not talking about a situation. Well, let's just discuss according to Rashi. We're not talking about a situation where we know where there was a known Isser over here. But Hacha, in this case, she's a Schazik Yisur Deshishish. In other words, when can an Eid Echad tell you it's kosher? When I have no reason to necessarily believe that it's not kosher. I have to know that something's kosher. So he comes in. As far as I'm concerned, any food he gives me may be a Suffolk. Or certainly he gives me meat. And he tells me it's Oyu Shchita. It's a Suffolk. How do I know? I only know because he told me. I have no other evidence. But I have no evidence. I have no reason to believe that there's a problem here either. So then I could follow him as far as the Eid Echad. But in terms of the case of where there's a Schazik Isura, I don't see that I could believe him. Taisus has a little bit of a question. He says, but by the Nida,
or by the Zava, she was his Chazik Yisura. So why over there are we saying that she could be believed? He says, well, that's a lesser Chazik Yisura because she's not going to see blood forever. Okay, so let us go. So, and that's one question. Then the Gemara goes on, the Ein Davar Shebe'er V'Pachas Mishnayim. And there's another problem over here. In other words, first of all, we never saw that an Eid Echad is believed when it says Chazik Yisura. In this case, the woman was known to be a married woman, so it's definitely a case of Chazik Yisura. So the Ein Davar, and the next thing is Ein Davar Shebe'erva Pachas Mishnayim. By things of a Davar Shebe'erva, we don't have a Davar Shebe'erva which is less than two Eidim. Things which involve things like marital status, you don't do as far as you need to have two witnesses. So how could one witness work over here in order to permit her to get remarried? Even assuming nothing goes wrong. So the Gemara says, Holo Damya, if anything, it's comparable to the following case. El chaticha devarei chelev. If you have a chaticha that's for sure chelev. Bos eid echad, and an eid echad comes v'amr borili deshuman have delo mehemen. If I know a chaticha's chelev, I know what chelev is, and I saw it was taken out of the cow and it's chelev, and an eid echad comes and says, I know that it's shuman, he's not believed. So the same way over here. I mean, we know she's a married lady. An eid echad's going to come and say she's believed. Eid echad's going to come and be believed to say that she's not a married lady anymore because the husband died. What mechanics could it work? I should need two witnesses. So therefore, and just like I need over there, it's not going to work. The Gemara says, me does, dummy, you can't really, that's not really a problem to our situation of Eid echad. Because Hussam, over there in that case, afilu asabet me'el or mehemni, even if 100 people would come, they wouldn't be believed. It's not a problem of Eid echad. It's a problem that you, when you have knowledge of something, it doesn't make a difference how many witnesses come and tell you differently. It's inconsequential. It doesn't help. Hacha, even the asabet rei mehemna, since over here when two witnesses come, they would be believed. Chadnami lehemna, over here, you should also believe them. And midi dehavi tevel v'hektish v'kainamus, similar to what we find by three examples of halachas that we're going to bring right now, where we find an eid echad is believed. In other words, you can't bring me a question from a case of, it's not similar to the case of where something is v'arei chelev, because there, obviously, if I know for sure something's chelev, if I know it's night outside, and 100 witnesses could come and tell me it's daytime, I know they're obviously wrong. But over here we're talking about a situation where two witnesses would be believed to say that the husband died. So therefore one should be believed similar to what we find by Tevel, Hektish, and Konamus. Tevel. Hi, Tevel. Hey, Chidami. What's the case of Tevel? So what is Tevel? Tevel is a produce of Eretz Yisrael, has to have Trumas and Maisras taken off. Before it has Trumas and Maisras taken off, it's usher, it's forbidden to be eaten. So we're saying an eight echad can come and say, that's no longer tevel. That was his chazik yisura, and it's no longer tevel. And we want to say the same way he should be believed by tevel, he should be able to be believed as well by this case of eishes ish, of a married lady. So Gemara says, hechi dummy, what's it talking about? Idi dei mishum de biyodo l'sakno. If it belongs to him, there's a different principle operative. That when something's biyodo, when something's in your hand to fix up, in other words, he could take off the miser himself if it belongs to him. So the reason why he's believed, there's an understanding that if it's something that's in his hand to fix it up, then an eid echad could be, if it's in his control to fix it up, then an eid echad could be believed even when the last known status was of this started off being tevel, which is usser. Ella, the acher. So the Gemara says it's talking about where it's, let's say, produce that belongs to somebody else. Now the rule is, it's a micah suver. What does he hold? Let's go on. If you hold that I could miser stuff from somebody else and I don't even need his consent. And how would you do that exactly? Let's say I have unmisered produce and I say I want my stuff to, I'm going to take off miser to clear his stuff of their trumas and miser's requirement. And they say, if you hold that you don't need das bailim, apparently there's a shita that holds that way, that's mishum de biyado l'sakno. So then you're back to the same thing as if it belonged to him. And if you say you can't do it, and you want to say that the eid echad, let's say in that situation, he wants to say it's produce that doesn't belong to him, and you are of the opinion that he doesn't have the ability to do it on his own, and he comes and he tells you, it's misaking. So he goofa minolin. How do I even know that that's even true? Maybe he doesn't. He's not believed in that case because it was a chazik isura, last known status, whether it was tevel. I mean, you want to say you want to bring a proof from there. We don't even have any proof that it's true over there. Hekdishnami, another second proof we wanted to bring. Hekdish. Let's analyze this one. The Gemara says, Ikadushas domim, if it's something hekdish, when you make something hekdish. If you make something hekdish, let's say you make a chair or a table hekdish for the use of the Beis HaMikdash, for Berek HaBayis, that's called Kedushas Damim, and it's Mishum Debiyara Liftaisu. So if he says it's no longer hekdish, you thought you knew that table was hekdish, and now he says it's no longer hekdish, that's not like our case over here of the Eishes Ish, because it's Biyodo. It's his Chazik Yisur, and it's Biyodo. He has the ability to redeem it. Something you make hekdish like that, you have the ability to redeem. Ikedushas Haguf, and if it's something, let's say a behema, which is going to be brought for a carbon, which has a halach of Kedushas Haguf, which it's not in your control to be poda. You can only be poda if it gets a mum. But right now, it's not totally in your control. But ididei, if it belongs to him, mishum debidyodo leshtuli aleh. There's still a way to get out of it. There's a way to go to the chacham and say, I made a mistake, and I should never have been makdish this thing. And there are ways out of it. So that's why you would be believed again, because it's biyodo. Vela da'acher. But let's say it belongs to somebody else. I know it's Kedushas Haguf, but I know that he went and he asked the Chacham, and you want to say the Eirech will be believed on that, he gufami nolan. How do we know if he is believed or he's not believed? We're not sure of that. We don't have any proof that he's even believed. So we don't have anything to bring a proof from. Konamus. The last case was Konamus that we mentioned. So Konamus generally means when somebody... Konamus generally means when somebody made something usher on himself. And there's a question of how to understand that status. A person could say, I'm koneim grapes or something alai. Whatever the lashonas are, mirtz Hashem, when we get to Nedarim, we'll see more about that. Iksavra yesh me'ila bekonamos. If you hold that there's me'ila bekonamos, the kedushas domim nachna luhu. In other words, and me'ila, meaning you treat something that you usher by a konam, even though you didn't dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash, with the same halachas as if you would have dedicated it to the Beis HaMikdash, like just we discussed by hektish, you makdash the table, and that's mishum de b'yado niftaisa. So again, it's because of b'yado. It's in his hand. It's in his ability to remove the status. So that's why as an eidechad he's believed. And if you say there's no such thing as me'ila by konamos, and there's no way to redeem a koname. If you make a grapes, let's say, or whatever, usher, you usher yourself to sit in a chair, or you usher yourself something, there's no way to redeem it to get out of it. But it's just a regular isser, but idi day, if it belongs to him, so yeah, he could get out of it, mishum de b'yod ala shtuli ala, which is ala di acher, but let's say it belongs to somebody else, and you want to say that he's no longer forbidden to have pleasure from that object, or that food, or whatever it is, because I know that he asked a question, I know that he was ishal on it, so he goofed me nolan. How do I even know that that's true? I don't even know that's true either. So, I don't have any proof in the case of Ischazik Yisura, unless it's biyado. And therefore, in the case of Meis Balecha, in the case over here by the Eishes Ish, she was a married lady, and now we want to say that she's no longer a married lady. It's not considered biyado for him to say, that's not biyado. The fact that he could kill the husband, obviously. So it's not biyado. So how do you know that he's going to be believed? So he goofed him in. So we don't have an understanding of what are the mechanics of how we believe this. How do we believe a eid echad to say that she could get married in the first place? So Amar Rebbe Zeira. Reb Zeira says, Mitoch chomer shechmarto lebesayfa. Because of all the chumras that we discussed in yesterday's daf, all the chumras that we put on her to begin with, he kalt aleh b'tchila. So we were makel on her to begin with, because we know we're going to put all those chumras. Then the Gemara says, below lachmer below lekel. You know what? Why don't you just leave things? Say, we don't have two witnesses. Let the lady stay. Let's wait and see if more evidence can develop about her husband's death. So the Gemara says, we don't want that. Mishumi guna ikilu be rabbanim. because of Iguna, the Rabbanu were Mekel. So there's a question as to how exactly to understand this. What does the Gemara mean? So Rashi and Shabbos, Kuf Mim Hei Amud Bei, says that really the principle, operative principle over here is called the Mekadesh Adaita the Rabbanu Mekadesh. Right? When somebody gets married, they say, Hareyat Mekadesh Yisli Kadash Moshe Yisrael. And because he says that, he puts himself in the hand of the Rabbanim. And the Rabbanim said, should such a situation come up, and as the Rashba explains, should the Isha be daiko? In other words, should the Isha check it out properly? So then we would say, we would allow her to get remarried. And if it turns out that she didn't check it out properly, and the proof is, in other words, we're allowed to get married with an Eid Echad, will allow her to get married with an Eid Echad because we know she knows what's going to happen to her, and therefore she's going to check into it, and we'll allow her to do that, and we have the ability to suspend the Kedushin. In other words, it's because the person said Kedas Moshe Yisroel, so we have the ability to suspend the Kedushin, and we will suspend the Kedushin where that situation develops because of an Iguna. We don't want a woman to be stuck where an Eid Echad comes and says her husband died, but we're only willing to suspend it if it turns out that she did a thorough checking. And if it turns out she didn't do a thorough checking, then we're going to say that original permit to get remarried was not valid. That's one way of understanding it. Others say, such as Taisus over here seems to say it's really a derabbanan. It's really a derabbanan, but it's not called, how could the rabbanan be oker something? It's not called akiras dover min haTorah, because it's very similar to, it makes a lot of sense that because of the fact that you put all these penalties on her, as we saw in the Mishnah yesterday, yesterday's daf, so therefore it's an anan sahadi. It's not an anan sahadi, but it's not necessarily, it's anan sahadi would be that something would be so clear that would be considered as if two witnesses came. Taisa says it's not that level of evidence, but it's very strong, and it's close to a level of evidence that the Torah required, and therefore you could extend it, and that is the way Taisa is learning the Gemara. And then there's the Rambam, says that it's really even a deraisa. Okay, and that needs more explanation. Okay, but that's the understanding of it. Okay, let's go on to the next thing. Two dots. Teitzei mizeh mizeh. So the Gemara says if now the person, husband, comes back, so she got a, she, it's like she was mezana, it's like she was committed adultery, and she can't stay married to either one of them. So Amar Rav. Rav says, Loishon Eloshenissis Ve'ed Echad. That's only talking about where she got married by one. Avonissis Al Pishnei Edim Loiteitse. But if she got married by virtue of two witnesses, then Loiteitse. She doesn't go out. Right. So Mochel Kaleba Marava. They laughed at this, and at Marava, meaning Eretz Yisrael. Oster gavra v'koy v'yadam reshloi teitzei. The person comes, and everybody understands that he's the husband, and you're going to say, lo teitzei. You're going to say you don't take him out. How is it possible to say such a thing? Now, Tosfos says, why don't you say it is a case of trei v'trei? You have two witnesses against two witnesses. That's a deadlock situation, and we'll talk more about that later. And how do you know what's what, really? So he says, no, there are cases, and we'll see in a minute, where you don't really know for sure if it's the husband. But there are other cases where everybody knows. There's no doubt. Everybody knows it's the husband. So you had two witnesses who said they saw him. They know he's dead. Obviously, they're wrong. So that doesn't make any sense. And by the way, Rav, when he said this Loishanu, he's not really going on the Mishnah directly. And in fact, the Gemara could have brought a proof from the Mishnah directly that even in a case of two witnesses, you are going to say Teitze. You're not going to let her stay with this second husband. Because the Mishnah, in the end of the Mishnah, says that if she got married with two witnesses, Teitze. She can, but she's muteris lachsulo. She can't stay with a second husband, but she can go back to the first husband because she's considered an anus in that case. So we could have really brought a proof from the Mishnah as well. And when Rav says lo shonu, he's not really, usually a lo shonu is qualifying the Mishnah. He's not really qualifying the Mishnah because the Mishnah was speaking about a case where everybody knew it was the husband. But he wants to talk about a case where it's possible that where two Edom came and you'll allow him to stay with a second husband, even though the husband came back. But now what does it mean? If we know it's the husband, we're obviously not going to allow her to stay with it. She could not honestly taste it. The Gemara said they laughed at that. So the Gemara says, Lo Sricha, four lines from the bottom, on Peches Sumer Aleph. The Lo Yadin in Lay, we're talking about a situation where we don't know for sure if it's him. Either Lo Yadin in Lay Beit Echad Amai Teitzi, we don't know it's him. Well, he says it's him, but nobody recognizes it. So why, even when she got married with one witness, should we say Teitzi? So the Gemara says, Lo Sricha, I'll tell you what the case is. To Asu Beit Rei, Vamru Anan Havinim Vahadde Michi Nofek Vadahashta, two witnesses now came and said that we were with him from the time he left home until now. And you don't recognize him, but we know it's him. And she got married with one witness. And now two Edom came. Well, she got married with one witness. Well, let's we'll go through the cases. And you don't know him. Like we have in Bereshis, when the brothers, when the Shvatim came to Yosef, Yosef recognized him. They didn't recognize Yosef. And the Amar Achizda, the reason is Mamet Shatz Belo Chasima Zaking, he left without a beard. He was 17 years old. Boba Chasima Zaking, he came with a beard. So you can have situations where a person's not recognized. Even Yosef's brothers didn't recognize him. But now the Gemara says, okay, so in other words, we want to say his identity is in doubt. So his identity is in doubt. She got married, let's say, so Rav wants to say if she got married with one witness, and then two witnesses, one witness said he was dead, two witnesses come and say he's the guy, so even though they're not sure, but they go with the two witnesses, and she has to leave the second husband. But if there was two witnesses came, then you say, Rav is saying, she could stay with the second husband. But sof treva treinin, Baba Aleh B'yoshem Tolikoi, turning the page to Peches Amud Aleph, somebody who has beer with her has an Oshem Toli. An Oshem Toli is in any situation of where there's a doubt by a certain Chai V'Karis. In other words, they have to, in a Katas is when somebody, let's say, did a Chai V'Karis, let's say, ate Chaylev, and he didn't realize it was Chaylev, but he finds out later it is Chaylev. But if you have a case where we don't know for sure, how could she know? She doesn't know for sure. How could she know for sure? Let's say the second husband. What does he know, the second husband? The second husband married her based on the testimony of, let's say, the original two witnesses, bona fide two witnesses. But now you have two witnesses say those two witnesses were obviously wrong because we know this is the man. This was the original husband. So how is he allowed to stay married to her? There should be an Ashem Toli. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes Kagon Shenisis Le'echad Me'edeha. It's talking about where she married one of the witnesses. One of the witnesses that said he was dead. She married one of those. And there's not a problem with that. She could marry him. And he doesn't have any question. So the Gemara says, He goof a Bashem Toli Kaima. But what about herself? She herself has an obligation of an Ashem Toli. She doesn't really know. So the Gemara says, No, Bomer is Barili. We're talking about where she also knows. She also knows that she says, I am sure that this is not the husband. I know my husband, and this is not the man. So she's not, and as Rashi explains, you only bring an Ashem Toli if you're not really sure. But the witness and the husband and the wife in this situation are sure that this is not the man. Because that's the one who said, I saw him dead. And she says, I know it's not the husband. So that's why they could stay married in that case. If it would be one witness, can I get two witnesses, they couldn't stay married. But if it's two, can I get two, and she married one of the witnesses, then they could stay married. Gemara says, Yehochi. Well, before we go on, we'll just digress to speak about one topic. We had this earlier back on Lamed Aleph. And there's a question what to do in any case where you have two witnesses against two witnesses. Trey v'trey. In other words, how do we view that? There's a machlokis, whether you hold trey v'trey sveika the raisa or trey v'trey sveika the rabbanim. If you hold trey v'trey sveika the raisa, so we could understand, in other words, what trey v'trey sveika the raisa means is that even though normally when you have a doubtful situation, you go according to the last known status. And over there, the Gemara is talking about, let's say, two different cases. You throw a lady kesef kedushin, and if it's close to her, then she's mekudeshes, and if it's close to him, she's not mekudeshes. And if you have a doubt, safek karov lo, whether it's closer to him or closer to her, so there you could say, that you could go according to the chazaka. What about if you have two witnesses? Two witnesses say one way, two witnesses say the other way. So maybe that's not like a normal case of doubt. It's more than. And so there's an opinion that says that's a suffix deraisa. And even let's say in a divorce case, where the last known status would be lechumra, but it's not really a, in other words, let's say he threw her a get. It's a suffix if it was closer to him or closer to her. Two witnesses say it was closer to him, two witnesses say it was closer to her. So in a case where you have two witnesses against each other, so that opinion would say you don't go according to the chazaka, but rather, you say it's a suffek, and therefore there's not going to be a chi of chatas, which would mean it could be considered a vada yisr, but it would be considered a suffek yisr. But if you hold trei v'trei sveka derabbanan, you hold it trei v'trei is a suffek derabbanan, that means that midiraisa you go according to chazaka, where the chazaka is lekula, it's only midirabbanan that you're more machmir. So over here in this case where you have two against two, Tysus's problem is, so you should say according to that opinion, how could you understand this gemara? How could it only be an ashim toli? Trei v'trei sveika derabbanan says that midiraisa go baser chazaka. In this case, going baser chazaka leads to a chumra, and we should say she's still considered married and should be a chi of chatas. According to that opinion, how do we let them stay married? And how do we let them stay married? So the Gemara says that it's not a real chazaka over here, because the fact that the lady is going to check around, because she's only getting, in other words, she's going to check around, she's going to check it out, and therefore, since she's going to check it out, that takes away the chazaka. So there seems to be some level of checking it out, even where you have two witnesses. That's what he's going to say. Because she has to be concerned, some level, not the same culpability, not that you'll throw the book at her, like all the knasos, like we said in the Mishnah, but some level of culpability, and that takes away from the chazaka. Okay, now the Gemara says, but if this is what Rav comes to say, when she married one of her witnesses, and it's talking about a situation where, and she knows for sure it's not the husband. Of course, we'll let them stay married. Afilu Rav Nachman Rav Yosi, who was the most machmer shita in this whole thing, lo ka'amar elikish in this whole type of machlokus, as we're going to see in a minute, elikish boedim achakach nisus. Even he only said that he would have a problem, and he would say we have to take her out of the second marriage in this type of situation, only where Adam came. The second group of Adam came and said, this is the husband, and then she went ahead and got married to one of the first Adam. But like in this situation, and this would seem to be what we're talking about, because we're talking about Rav's coming on the Mishnah to some extent, and the Mishnah was talking about a situation where she got married, al pi eid echad, and then the husband came back. And so she was married already when the husband came back, and in the case of two Adam, she was also married already. And this is Vachakach Bo'edim Lo'omer. The Tanya, we learned in Brisa, Shnayim Omrim Meis. You have two witnesses say he died. Shnayim Omrim Lo Meis, and you have two witnesses say he did not die. Shnayim Omrim Niskarshim, Shnayim Omrim Lo Niskarshim, Arez Lo Tinase. Then you cannot get married. Two said she was divorced, two said she wasn't divorced, you cannot get married. Vyamnisis, and if she does get married, Lo Tetzi. That's the Tanakama. Rav Nachman Rav Yossi is more Machmir. Rav Nachman Rav Yossi Omer Tetzi. He says, no. You have to end the marriage. But Omer Rav Menachem Rav Yosi, Amos Ani Omer Teisei, when do I say that you have to end the marriage? Bizman Shabo Edim V'yachakach Nisus. That's only talking about where the Edim came and then she got married. Aval nisus v'achar kach bo edim. But if she got married first and then the witnesses only came, harezu lo teitzei. I would also agree that she would say lo teitzei. And when would you be talking about? Let's say where she married one of the edim. So the Gemara says ki kama rav nami bizman shebo edim v'achar kach nisus. When is Rav talking? He's talking about. So it wouldn't be a chiddush. Why should Rav tell us something that's already learned in Brisus? Rav Menachem Rav Yossi, who was the most machmer, would already say that this is permitted. So the Gemara said, no, Rav went one step further. Ki kama Rav nami bizman shebo edim v'achakach nisus. Rav said it also in a case when the edim came and then she got married. In other words, the doubt was already there, and then she got married to one of the edim, one of the witnesses from the first group. And lafuki menachem Rav Yossi. And that's the chiddush. I want to go one step further, and I want to say that even that's permitted. The ika di amri, and there are those who say differently. Taima din nisus v'achakach bo edim. No, he only really said it where she got married first, which is like what the Mishnah is talking about by the case of Eid Echad. So comes Rav to be Mosif on them to say, well, you know, that was a problem, and you have to say Teitzei because she got married al pi Eid Echad, and then the husband came back. But if she got married and I'll PA them, but she was married before the second group came, time of Nis Rakach Bo Edim, Aval Bo Edim, Yachakach Nisis. But if Edim came and then she got married, Teitzei, then Rav would agree. He says Rav would agree. And come on, come Rav Nachum Rav Yossi. And who is Rav going like? He is going like Rav Nachum Rav Yossi. He is going like Rav Menachem Rav Yossi, and we could say that that's considered a chiddush anyway. Just his only point was to say that we follow Rav Menachem Rav Yossi, and that's actually the simple way of understanding Rav, because it would seem that he's going on the case like the Mishnah. Okay, Masiv Rav. Rav has a question now on this halacha of Rav. Now the following braisa, we know, it seems to be it's assumed that we definitely paskin like it. So minayim shimlo ratzu depano. How do we know? Now this Bryce is talking about a kohen. The Bryce is talking about a kohen. So he says, how do we know that if he does not want to get divorced, we force him? And we force him means even physically. We'll hit him, and we'll say tamalomer v'kidashto bal karchuch. You have to bal karchuch against his will. You have to make him holy, meaning you have to have him keep the halachas of kahuna. And therefore, if he's married to somebody he shouldn't be married to, you're going to use force to get him out. In the time that the Bati Dinin took care of these things, you're going to use force to get him out. So, Hechi Dami, what's the case? Ilei medola nisus lechem leideha v'lo kamra barili, if she didn't marry one of the Edim. And she doesn't say barili sricha lemeimer de dapana. Of course, in that situation, you're going to remove her forcibly. Remove them forcibly from each other. There's not enough evidence to keep them married. In other words, if you have a situation where she married somebody else and it's an ushim toli every time, and you have two witnesses against two witnesses, of course you're going. And she doesn't know for sure. You're not going to let them stay married. El alav de nisus miyachad neyadel. So must be talking about when she married one of her witnesses, Vika Amra Barili, Viktani Dapano, and she says, I know for sure that this is not my husband. And yet, nevertheless, it's coming to tell you different than what Rav said. Ama mafkina lemine, you force him. That's what the Kidashto Bal Karchuch must be going on, because we don't know any other explanation of what it could be going on. Because it's telling you that you have to forcibly end a marriage by a kohen. What could be the case, possibly, that we always forcibly end any marriage that we know is problematic? Now, just to clarify one point here, it's really this case is not exactly the case of Rav, but we're going to say we can extrapolate from this case to the case of Rav. Really, this case is talking about a situation where, let's say, the husband is dead, even the alleged husband is dead already. Yet, nevertheless, for a kohen, it's still a problem. Because what happened was like this. A woman was married, and then two witnesses, let's say, came and said that her husband died, and let's say she married one of her witnesses, and then other witnesses came and said that this is the guy, this is the man, and she says, I know it wasn't the man, and she's married to one of the witnesses, and he knows for sure that the husband is dead, and that's not the husband, and then that husband, that alleged husband, dies anyway. So no matter which way you go, her husband's dead now. But if she's married to a Kohen, if this second husband, this one of the witnesses, is a Kohen, we still have a problem over here. Because if he was a Yisrael, and as we saw in the Mishnah, if a woman who's married, the difference between a Kohen and a Yisrael is as follows. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a woman who had relations with another man outside the context of marriage, even if it was an ones, a rape case, even if it was something that was totally not her fault. Whereas by a Yisrael, by an Eishes Yisrael, it's only if it was her fault. But if by a Kohen, it would be even if it wasn't her fault. So over here, if she got married with two witnesses, and she married one of the witnesses, and she's really blameless over here, but at least according to what she thought, but now we have two witnesses saying that it really is the husband. So at the time that she, and then the person died, let's say. So in other words, it's relevant to a Kohen, this point. So now at the time that the man died, we're saying that relations that she had before he died was nus, and she's a zona. And a Kohen is not allowed to be married to a zona. In other words, she had relations with outside that we have two Adam saying she did have relations outside the context of marriage. Two Adam saying she didn't. She's sure she didn't. One of the Adam is sure she didn't. But nevertheless, we're saying that's what the Brisa must be talking about. And because it's talking, it would seem only logical that if it told us this halacha by a Kohen, so it's talking about something applicable to Kohanim. This particular case would not be applicable to a Yisrael. Because if the husband is now dead, she could certainly stay with the second husband no matter what. Because even if it was wrong, even if the second group of Adam are right, she was an Onik. She got married as far as witnesses, just like we saw in the Mishnah. If it's an Eishes Yisrael, and she got married with two witnesses, and then the husband comes back, and we know for sure it's the husband, Muteres Lachserlo, she's allowed to go back to him. So that can't be what we're talking about. Okay, so he says, but we can extrapolate from this to Rav's case as well. Just like over here we would say that we have to forcibly remove him. So maybe we would say the same thing by Rav's case, where the husband may still be alive. We don't allow them to continue to commit adultery. And she can't stay with a second husband, even though he's one of the witnesses who said that he died, and she's sure. But then the Gemara says Isser Kahuna Shiny. Maybe Isser Kahuna is different. Maybe in a situation of Isser Kahuna is more machmir, and you can't extrapolate. That would be the case by a Kohen, in either of these cases, whether the husband might have, the second alleged husband, whether this alleged husband died or he didn't die, but by Yisrael, or whether he's still alive, he can't stay married because he's a Kohen, but everybody else would be different. Some say a whole different approach to the Brisa. My depanu depanu be'edim. It doesn't mean that we forcibly remove him. We would not forcibly remove him in this case of Rav. But what happens is based and has to go find Edim to contradict what the first one's saying. In order, Basin has to go find Adam to contradict what the first witnesses said. And before they want to let them get married, they try to do that. But of course, if they get married, since this is a serious matter and two witnesses came, they try to find other witnesses. And they say, hold everything. They try to get them to hold off a little while to make sure that we could trust these witnesses. But of course, if they get married, like in this case, they would let them stay married, and it's not a question on Rav. Or another explanation is, this is talking, you know, when we're talking about when you have to remove them. It's talking about where Edom came, and then she got married, and it's Rav Menachem bar Rav Yosi. In other words, and that's the situation where she got married after the second Adam came and said, this may be the husband, this is the husband, because we know it's the husband. Ravashi Omer, Ravashi says a different approach to understanding Rav. Milo Tetzi to come a Rav. What did Rav say? Rav never meant that she could stay with the second husband. He meant Lo Tetzi Mehatera HaRishon. she can go back to the first husband in a situation where she got married with two witnesses. She can go back to the first husband in a situation where she got married with one witness, since she's supposed to check it out, and she didn't, so she's considered like an Ishu's Mezana. A woman who has relations outside marriage willingly is usher to her husband. If it's not willingly, she's not usher to her husband if it's Yisrael. And since she got married with two witnesses, that's not considered willingly, and therefore it's lotetzim yeter rishon. The Gemara says, Homer of Chada Zimna. Why would Rav, if that's what Rav's coming to say, he already said that once. The Mishnah says this beferish, really. Nisa shelo b'rishus, meaning she didn't have to go to Beis Din, and because she had witnesses saying her husband died, muteris lachzulo. She's allowed to go back to him. V'yomar avhunam arav, hachi hilchasa. And he said, we paskin, the halachas like that Mishnah. So what do we, why have to say it? The Gemara says, chada michal chaverti idmar. Yeah, one was learnt out from the other one, and it's true, it didn't have to be said twice. But one was implied from, he said it, either one of them he said explicitly, and the other one was extrapolated from that. We don't know which one is which. Okay. Itmar. Omar Shmuel. We're in the Lo Shanu Elishol Machashta. Now Shmuel comes and says a new qualification. This rule that when there's an Eid Echad comes and says that her husband died and she got married, and then the husband comes back, that's only talking about if she doesn't say anything. But machashto lo teitzei. But if she contradicts and she says this is ridiculous, he's not the husband, she doesn't go out. Now, but my askina, what are we talking about? We need to understand this. Ilei mebeitrei, if two witnesses come and say that that's the husband, ki machashto le mai havi, what good is it? One witness said she's dead. He's dead. Two witnesses say this is the man, and she doesn't have two witnesses on her side. Remember. So what if she can say, she doesn't make a difference what she says. She can't say anything against two witnesses. Elabachat, that can't be what Shmuel means. It must be talking about where another witness came and said, we were with him, and this is the man. This is the original husband. And she, of course. So time of the machashtay. So the reason why she is believed, the reason why she is why she's lo teisei is because she's machashim in that case, hashoske teisei, that's what you want to extrapolate. The only reason why she goes out is because she's machashto, but if she keeps quiet, we would say teisei, amarula. In other words, let's say we're talking about a case where one witness came and said the husband died, and another witness now came and said this is the husband. So we want to say that if she keeps quiet, she would go out. And she only doesn't go out if she denies it. But the Gemara is going to prove now that even if she keeps quiet, she wouldn't go out in that case. Because Rama Ulu said, Kol Mokam Shemina Torah Eid Echad Harei Kan Shnayim. Wherever the Torah believed in Eid Echad, there's two witnesses. It's like it's two witnesses. The Ein Dvarav Shalecha B'Mokam Shnayim. The second Eid that comes doesn't have any validity. So therefore, no matter what, you're going to say that she could stay married in that case. So if that would be the case, she would be able to stay married. So what is Shmuel talking about? So now the Gemara says, Hacha b'may askinen. I'll tell you what Shmuel's talking about. Be'psuli edis u'kedereb Nechemya. He's talking about psuli edis, and like a case of that Reb Nechemya talked about. The Tanya Reb Nechemya Omer, Reb Nechemya said, Kol mokom shemina Torah eid echad. Wherever the Torah believed in eid echad, halach acharov deis. You would, in that situation, you would go bus according to the majority of people. And you could even take two women. Now, women are not usually acceptable for Avis. But in a case where an Eid Echad is believed, such as over here, by a woman, to say that her husband died, but you could contradict that Eidus. In other words, you can't contradict the Eidus with one Eid connected another Eid. Then you have Ula's rule. If one Eid is believed and another Eid comes, even if he's a valid Eid, an Ish who's a valid Eid, not Posel Eidus, doesn't have any validity, and even if she doesn't say anything. But in a case where it's two against one. Now, when you're dealing with two witnesses, we say Trei Kameya. Two against 100 doesn't make a difference. Once we have two, the majority, we don't weigh the amounts. But Reb Nechemya is saying that when you have one witness, then you do weigh the number. And therefore, If you had one witness came and said that her husband died, and now you have two nashim, two women who normally are not valid for Eidus, but over here Rav Nechem is going to say they do have a validity. And not only they have a very strong validity, they have a validity to the extent that if they contradict what the first witness said, even though they're shtei nashim against an ishechad, they would be believed. And they would be believed. And therefore, she won't go, well, they would at least be believed to create a situation of a suffix. And therefore, she won't go out of cheskes eishishish, because you go according to them to rove deus. Right, so he says you go according to rove deus and they'll be believed. But let's say she says, I know for sure that's not the husband, then it doesn't make a difference. Even if there are 1,000 psuli avis, they're not going to take her out. In other words, we're not going to say it's not going to be considered. In other words, everybody's believed on himself by Yisur and by something that's clear to him, unless there's an Eidus Kshayra B'dover. Unless there's an Eidus Kshayra. But if there's not an Eidus Kshayra, then they're believed. So they don't exist. And she could go out from Cheskes Eishasish based on the testimony of the first one. She could go out from Eishasish based on the testimony of the first one. These two Nashim or more who are Pasala Eidus and not going to work. In other words, so when she's machish them, they're not going to work. That is one way of understanding it. When she's machish them, they're not going to have any validity because they don't have the validity. They only have the validity to create a suffix. In other words, we say we don't know now if the first one's right or these two nashim are right. So then we say we're going to be, if she doesn't say anything, we're going to be machmer. We're going to put her on the chazaka. Right. He's saying she doesn't go out of her chazaka. But if she says, I know for sure that's not the husband, so he says they don't, psule edis can't take a person, they're not neman on a person, connected himself by Yisurin. They can't. So if she says, I know for sure that's not the husband, she could stay married. Others say that she actually could be mitzarif with the first aid, and therefore it's considered like it's not considered like we have a majority. That's another way of looking at it. Others say differently. Where one aid came, 100 women can't do this. But the only situation where this would be relevant, if the first aid originally was not a kosher aid, but a postulate, an isha, in other words, an isha came. And if it was an aid kosher, then of course they have no standing to go against that. And it wouldn't make a difference if she says anything or she doesn't say anything. Right, they're considered like one eight. It's like eight machash eight, and the second one is not anything like ulu. And even if she would keep quiet, it would be good, as Rashi explains. But over here, we're talking about a situation where the first eight was not a kosher eight either. The first eight echad, when we do believe eight is isha, because of iguna, to let a woman get married, to say that the husband died. But in that situation, so that's when you could have a situation where if two women come to go against the first one, then they're all psuli edus. So that's when you go according to rove deus. If she doesn't say anything, we can go the fact that two say differently than the first one creates a suffix. It wouldn't create a suffix had a man come first. Then we would go according to, it wouldn't make a difference if she kept quiet. But it would create a suffix in a situation where a isha was the first aid. This is the way you read Rav Nechemya. You go according to the majority of opinions. And you make two women against one woman, like two men against one man. If you have two women against one man, then Ula's rule goes, and it's the same thing as one against one. It's like half against half. And therefore, even if she doesn't say anything, we say lo teise, because she got married, because since we believed an eight echad over here, we go according to the first eight echad. So we go according to the first eight echad, according to this second approach. If another eight echad came, kosher eight echad, we go according to the first eight echad. If two other nashim came, we go according to the first eight echad. And we don't even need her input at all here. She can stay married to the second husband. But in a situation where the first Edis was women, was Nashim, or other Psuli Edis, which we believe by Edis Isha, but if two other Nashim came, so then it would depend on her input. If she says that that's not the husband, then we go according to what she said, and she takes herself out of the Chazakah. But in this, which she can do, by something which is clear to her. But if she doesn't say anything, then we would say we have two women against one, Shnei Nashim b'Isha Achas. We go according to the majority of people that are talking, and we would say that it's a 50-50 situation. It's a chazaka, and in this situation, since her last known status was to be an Eishes Ish, we would say that Teitzei, she has to go out from the second husband. Okay, just to finish up on. We didn't discuss what is really the halacha by a case of ischazik yisura by an eid echad. Is an eid echad believed by ischazik yisura when it's not biyado? When it is biyado in his hand, so that would be an example. Let's say a woman goes to the mikveh and for some reason she can't now talk and say that she did go and somebody else saw her go. It's not biyado. Would that be believed? That's a questionable situation. Another thing is over here when you have this case of trei v'trei. Even though we do let them stay married, but there are Rishonim that want to say that the kid could still be a mamzer. All right. Tzricha get mizeh mizeh. Two dots, about six or seven lines from the bottom, on pei chesem and beis. So we said, in this situation, where we have an eid echad, and one witness, and now she got married, she needs a get from both of them. Bishlam rishon tiboy get. We understand why she needs a get from the first one. Elami sheni amayz nuspa almahu. Why does she need a get from the second one now? We're talking, let's say, where we know that this husband was the right husband. Everybody knows. Not, let's say, a case where we have a questionable identity situation. We know for sure it's the second husband. So if a woman is married, Kedushin cannot take effect with the second husband. So what does she need to get from the second husband for? So Maravun Xerishem Yomer Girizev and Asazeh. It's only a Xerit. It's going to look to somebody like maybe she was going out from the second husband without a get. Maybe the first one divorced her. She married this one. People will say married women go out without a get. If that's the case, so let's look at a Mishnah later on. If they told a woman, her husband, and then she got married to somebody else, not Nisuin, but just Kedushin, the Achakach Bo Baila, she didn't have beer with him. She just did a Maisa Kedushin, Muteres Lachser Lo. She's allowed to go back to the first husband in that situation. So Hosam Nami Neima, why don't we say she should have to get a get? Neima Girish Zeba Kiddish Zeb. Venim Satesha Sishiosa Shloba get. We should make the same Gzeru we're making over here, over there. Why do we make a difference between over here where she did Nisuin and over there where she did Kedushin? It looks just as bad. So Gemara says, Leolam Boy get. She does need a get over there. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if she needs a get, Nimtzezem Machzer Grushosa Mishinasarsa. How could you allow them to go back? In other words, how could you allow them to go back? A person's not allowed to remarry a woman who was married to somebody else, even with just Kedushin, even with just Erison. She can't remarry that person again. So how could you allow her to go back? If you don't have a get, so then everybody understands it was all a mistake. And she never really was married to the other one. But now that you're saying you need a get, it really looks like they were married. And that we're not going to allow. As Rashi says, it doesn't really mean she was a Machzer Grushasa. People are going to say that you could take a Machzer Grushasa. So we're going to have to say it's going to Rav Yosi ben Kippur, the Gemara says. Now Rav Yosi ben Kippur was an opinion that we had earlier in the first parak that holds that a Machzer Grushasa Mishan Asarsa is permitted, actually. So you can have a get over here to take care of the problem that people are going to think married women go out without a get. They might think that the first husband divorced her, even in the case of Kedushin. And as far as Machzer Grushasa goes, it's not a problem because all she had was Erison. Yomerman and Asuin, Asurim and Erison Muteris. All right. So that would answer up that. But then Gemara says, Hami Diktani Seifa. But the Seifa says, Afal Pi Shenosan. The Seifa says, And now we're going to the top of Pei Tesam and Aleph. Afal bishanasim la'acharon get lo paslim in akahuna. Even if the last one gave her a get, we don't passel her from kahuna. Meaning that, in other words, that get is not required at all. And therefore, it's not even considered a reyach get. In other words, it's complete mechlau the lo boy get. Must be that we don't require a get. The boy get, because if there would be some type of chumra of requiring a get, amaylo poslim in a kahuna. Why would she not posel her from the kahuna? So from the fact that we see that she's permitted to kahuna, we must be talking where there's no get over there. And we're back to the same question. Why over there is it different than over here? Why over there is it different than over here? So the Gemara says like this, Ela Seifa Omri Kedushe Toz Havi. The Seifa is talking about a case where it's Kedushe Toz, where you could say, people will say, you know what happened? It was a mistake. The whole thing was a mistake. Now, here, well, we'll learn like Tosfos. The whole thing was a mistake. Tosfos says the reason the whole thing was, Rashi says the whole thing, it was a mistake. It could be a regular case of Kedushe Toz. Tosfos doesn't like that for reasons which we'll discuss in a minute. But Rashi learns that it's talking about where it was a Kedushe Toz. Tosfos learns that we'll learn Tosfos' way first. It's a Kedushe Toz because she thought her husband was dead. Now she found out he's alive. And that's why you don't need a get. Everybody understands it. Nobody's going to think that he divorced her. Everybody will understand the situation. So the Gemara says, Kansua Rabbanan. The Rabbanan made a knas on her. Now, they made a knas. Well, we're going to see. So the Gemara says, Seifanamiliknasusa, why don't we make a knas on her in the second case as well? So the Gemara says, Resha of the Isura Kansua. The Resha, where she did an Isser, she actually did a Biasura, as it turns out, because the husband really was alive. So we're going to make a knas. Now, we're not going to just make a knas for the sake of making a knas, as Rashi explains. Since there's some type of chashash, that people are going to misunderstand the situation, we're going to throw a knas on her. Because maybe, and we're going to say, she needs to get a get, because maybe people will say, Gir Zev the Kid is Zev. Maybe he divorced her and she married this one, and they're not going to understand what happened. But we're only going to do that in the ratio where she did an Isura Kansua. Sefer, the law of the Isura, and the Sefer where she did not do an Isser, Lo Kansua Rabbanan. We're not going to Konesir. In the Sefer where she didn't do an Isser, we would not Konesir. Even though, well, in other words, there's a reasoning to be Konesir, but we're only going to be Konesir where she did something wrong. In the Seifa case, in this Mishnah later, she didn't do anything wrong because all she did was Kedushin. There was no Isser involved. Right. Now, Rashi, as I said, learns that the Kedushe Tos factor over here was Almanashini Koin Benim Salevi. Tosfos has a problem with that because he says then the Gemara can't ask a question about Ein Tanai Ben Nesuin. Doesn't make sense that the Gemara should ask that question, and that's a point on Rashi that he leaves really unresolved. He says that, as we said, the Kedushe Tos was not in something like that, because if it was a Tanai, let's say, Almanastan, I'm a Kohen, and he's I'm marrying you, Almanastan, I'm a Kohen, and then she's found to be a Levi, that would be a situation where, in once there was Nesuin, that Tanai would not be applicable anymore. So the Gemara wouldn't have a question on that to the Gemara later. But as far as Tos was learned, that the Tos over here was that she thought her husband was dead, so the Gemara could ask, why don't they make a knas in the second, in the Seifa as well, in the case where it was only Kedushin? Because in the Seifa, we're saying she did not do an Isser. So we'll stop here at this after Kansua Rabbanan on Pei Tes.